Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
What a morning. What a sweet morning to be in church. My goodness. Aye, aye, aye. Thank you, team. We love you. Worship band, come on. We love our worship team. Amazing job at the back. I'm a little bit biased if you don't know me, if we've never met. My name is Bella. I belong to this guy. I belong to Jesus first, but I belong to also this guy over here. We get to run the youth and the young adults ministry together, but I also run the worship team, and I love the way that these guys just serve. You guys were snuggled up in bed this morning, and they were up in the freezing cold and here practicing, and we love them so much. We love the way that they serve. But if it is your very first time here at church, I want to welcome you especially. I hope that you have a phenomenal morning. I hope that you meet some of the incredible people that make up this church because, you know, I love this church so much. I can genuinely say that. I love this church. I know that for me and Josiah, we feel that God has called us to have a burden for the local church. And we've been just so blessed by God to be able to be here at Beacon Church. We got a good one. I mean, my goodness. And we love Beck and Az, don't we? Oh, our amazing senior pastors, Beck and Az, they are phenomenal. And they deserve a break. Hey, a break from us. Yeah, so we pray for them. Yeah. Josiah and I have been serving in this church together for 10 years. That's a long time. I'm not that old. You're like, really? Okay. No, we've been serving in youth ministry. I mean, together we've been serving there since we were 17 years old. My goodness. Some crazy leader in the church thought that we would have a crack at it. Gave us a go, and we love this church. We love serving our youth. Look at you guys over there. So good. Hey, youth. We love our youth, don't we, church? Come on. I love looking out at this church and seeing so many generations. And, you know, I was even reflecting. I remember the first time I walked into this building. And I wanted to ask you, church, do you remember the first time you walked into this building? Yeah? It could be today, and you're like, I remember it very clearly. This is my first time here. But what you may not know about me is that I didn't actually grow up in church. That wasn't my story. And so growing up as a child, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up with parents that took me to church. In fact, it was quite New Age and spiritualist. So at home, we didn't talk about church and we didn't talk about God very much. And it wasn't actually until my parents were divorced when I was 8 years old and we moved from New South Wales up to Redlands, the promised land. Oh yeah. And I started going to a Christian school, shout out Radlands College of Knowledge. Love Redlands. And it wasn't until I actually started going to a Christian school that I had even heard stories from the Bible before. I remember being in Bible studies with Mr. O'Dale. He was awesome. And that was actually the first place that I ever learnt about who God was, who Jesus was, and learnt about the Bible. And I remember being in grade 9. Who's in grade 9? Is there anyone in grade? Yes, Millie, love it. Hey, welcome back. So good to see you. She's been in Vanuatu. Amazing. I remember being in grade 9, and I was friends with some skinny Christian boy. And this skinny Christian boy came up to me and he would invite our whole friendship group to youth on a Friday night. And he said this youth thing was at his church and that it was pretty fun and there was food. And if you come, you get a free soda and a chocolate. So there's bribery involved and we love that. I have a photo of this skinny boy. I should have done a before and after. He's so unrecognized. That's Josiah, by the way. That's in grade 9. But I love our story because Josiah invited all of our friends to youth. And after all of my friends had been to youth and they had kind of checked it out, I was like, well, now I've got FOMO. I need to go along and check this out. But I had never been to church before. He said it was at his church. And so I don't know if you remember the first time you've ever been invited to church, but I was a little nervous, okay? I didn't know what to expect. Remember, I didn't grow up going to church. My only understanding of what church was like, this is just so true though, was movies and like TV. And so I expected, no joke, I expected stone floors, big old building. If you had the same thought, can you make me feel a little validated? Did anyone think that? Stained glass windows, maybe? Is that the first thought you ever had a church? That was my first thought. So that's what I thought I was walking into. But when I arrived at youth, it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't an old historical building. It was just a regular building next to what was then Salvo's. And I walked through the doors and there was carpet on the floor. This was all one room. There was no wall there. There was a stage. There were lights. There was a smoke machine. And I thought, what have I walked into? And I remember it so vividly. I even remember what I was wearing at the time. I remember this. I was wearing, okay, now don't judge me. I was wearing red corduroy pants. Anyone a fan of corduroy? And when I was in grade 9, I thought this was the coolest shirt. I wore a shirt with a giant cat face on it. Because I thought that's just going to impress Josiah. Like, why do I remember that? I don't know. Because it was significant. It was significant the first time walking into church. But I remember it so vividly. I can remember where everything was. I can remember who was there. And looking back on it now and reflecting, you know, walking in the building wasn't actually my first experience of the church. My first experience of the church was the friend that I made at the door. You see, there was this girl named Michaela. If you may know a Michaela in this church, this girl grabbed me. She sat me down on a couch and proceeded to tell me about this boy she had a crush on that was on the band. And his name was Dean. And I was trying to be interested, but I was like, I don't know who Dean is. This is my first time. I remember it so clearly. If you don't know, Dean and Michaela, they're married now. We love them. They're still part of this church. Looking back at my first experience, it wasn't walking through the door, but it was actually the youth pastor that Josiah dragged me along to, pushed me in front of and said, this is my youth pastor. And he was so eager to introduce me to this person who had impacted his life so deeply. He was like, surely she'll get to know Jesus if she meets my youth pastor. That was actually my first experience of the church. Looking back, I realized it wasn't the building, but it was the people that actually made me feel welcomed. That I was really nervous to walk into a church for the first time. But there were people there that were friendly, that wanted to meet me, to get to know me, that gave me a go at the games and all of those kinds of things. You see, the church was the people I met, not the building I walked into. And today, I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about how we are the church. How we are the church. And if you're taking notes, which I know a few friends said that they would take notes to make me feel better. My title is We Are the Church. My point number one is this. The church is God's people. The church is God's people. Did you know that the very first reference to the word church, the first time the word church ever appears in the Bible, it's in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says to Peter, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The first time that the word church is used, it's the Greek word ecclesia, and it means this. It means called out assembly. So the word church literally means the called out ones. I think that's pretty cool. And I love the fact that the first time that church is ever used in the Bible, it's not actually referring to a building or a place. It's referring to the people of God. You know, when I think about it now, I realize that my first experience of the church wasn't even here. It was actually in my school. It was when this skinny little kid came up to me and invited me to youth. because he had something I needed. He had something that was missing from my life. And he was so desperate to see all of his friends experience that. And so he felt a call to go out into his school where he was, and to invite, to share, to bring people closer to God. And I always think it's pretty cool to say this, that the boy that invited me to youth is the guy that I married. So youth. This is going to either work really well or be a deterrent. Don't go there. Take it as you will. Church, singles out there. Maybe an invite could lead. Nah, it's okay. It's okay. That's my story. It could be God's. Who knows? The church is simply the people that follow Jesus. The people of God who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. They've been called out of something. Called out into our world. The church is not actually a man-made idea or tradition. That it was actually God's plan, God's design, God's initiative. Jesus says, my church. Confirming that the church is the design of God, not man. And its purpose is to combat hell on this earth. The church's mission is to take back ground. It's to bring heaven to earth. It's to see his kingdom come, his will be done here as it is in heaven. The church's mission is to rob hell and populate heaven. It's not a little thing. The church's mission is to rob hell and populate heaven. The church is the assembly of God's people on mission. Matthew 18:20, it says this, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Who knows that the journey of following Jesus is not one we're meant to do alone? No way. And I love meeting together in this church. Gosh, something special was stirring this morning, even as we worship together. I hear the band, but I hear the church, the roar of worship that comes from this church. As we meet together, as we lift up the name of Jesus together, there is something powerful, there is something significant that happens. It's faith building, it's chain breaking, it renews our souls, it equips, it builds us up. On the days when you feel like you're living on the mountaintops, it's celebrating together. And on the days that feel like the darkest valleys, you know what we do? We borrow each other's faith. We borrow each other's faith for the moments, the strength we gather from the church beside us for the moments where we don't think we can go on. This is the church. I'm so encouraged when I see my church family. If your tank is ever empty, young people, go talk to our older generation. They are the most encouraging people I have ever met in my life. I could be on like flashing tank empty moments and my words of affirmation just get lifted up when I'm in church. Is anyone's love language words of affirmation? A few. Come to church. You will be so encouraged by one another together. I get to see my best friends at church. Better yet, I get to serve alongside my very best friends here at church. And you know what? If COVID taught us anything, is that we humans need connection. That there is something significant that happens when we gather together. All the extroverts say amen. All the introverts sit there quietly. Oh, COVID was rough for so many reasons, but I just remember being on Zoom. Oh, I'm so over Zoom. Anyone else just so over Zoom? It's triggering. Like I have to do a Zoom for a very important reason. We're in different countries or different states. And I'm like, I can't be back here. Like I can't go back into the Zoom land. Because I remember just so desperately being in the COVID times and so desperately wanting to be here, wanting to be in this room with my church gathered together because something was missing in my life. Because this is significant. The gathering of the saints, the assembly of God's people is significant. If it was good enough for Jesus to be in the temple, it's good enough for me. That it encourages me, that it builds up my faith, that it trains me, that it equips me. you see, there is so much more to being the church than being just a crowd of people. You see, a crowd of people gather all the time for all different reasons. For concerts, people gather. For sports events, like disappointing Origin games. That was terrible, right? Like, this is bad. Oh, please, Lord, have your hand on the Queenslanders. Hey, people gather all the time. Sports, concerts, all of those things. People gather for all different reasons, but there is something that is more important. The church was never meant to be made up of attenders. It was always meant to be built of members. Attenders fill seats. Members serve. Attenders visit. Members belong. Attenders consume. Members participate. In my family, could be the same with yours, could not be. In my family, someone attending a family dinner is a guest, okay? They're not serving the food. They're not clearing the table. They're not doing the dishes. But a family member participates. They're an active member of the household. They are involved. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it." The church is God's people. And number two, the church is the body. The church is the body. I heard a click of a pen. Praise God. Amen. Someone's taking notes. When I look out at this church, I see an array of generations of different types of people, different family members, different cultures. And so different are we all, but we all belong together through one factor, Jesus Christ. Like, there is no other reason that we would all know each other or interact with each other other than knowing God. God calls his church the body, and he calls Jesus the head. Romans 12:4-5, it says, "For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." I love how God is just so clever. I love how he's so clever to use the image of a body as the church to understand that we all ultimately belong to God as the head, but each one of us also belongs to each other as the body. As a member, we have a function and we have a purpose. And I believe that God wants to move his people from being attenders to members, from being consumers to contributors. Ephesians 4:15, 16 says this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Every single one of us here has a purpose in the body of Christ. You have a purpose in this church. You are not here to simply fill a seat. You may not want to hear that because our seats are very comfortable. But I'm here to tell you that if you have breath in your lungs, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Because just as every member of the body is important, every member of the church is important to God. And we are called to be members, not attenders. Church is not a concert to consume. It is a body to belong. And it is time to stop assuming that attendance to a Sunday service is the same as being a part of the church. It is time to stop assuming that attendance to a Sunday is the same as being a part of the church. It's not. You end up just warming a seat. Now, if you're here and it's your first time, please, oh my goodness, please, you are so welcome. If you're here figuring out if Beacon is the church for you, please sit. be so welcomed here. We hope that you have an awesome time here and meet the church. And please don't feel any pressure to be like, oh my goodness, I have to join a team. What on earth? It's an honor to serve you here today. It is. We welcome you and we're so glad that you're here with us. But this is a call out to, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, Beacon is your home, then you're called to be a part of the body. And why is it so important? Well, have you ever had an injury that has caused a part of your body to stop working before? I know for me, it's my knees multiple times. And I want to talk about what happens to the member of the body when it stops working. I have an example. This is like one of a billion examples, but I have a photo here. This is 2022, 1 hour coming back from youth camp. Oh yeah. This is a regular occurrence, so don't feel sorry for me. Happens at nearly every camp. Yeah, so I was at youth camp 2022. I was chasing after this guy over here. My goodness. I was chasing after that guy while playing like Rob the Nest, I think was the game. And I like slammed into a student and you're thinking, Bella, well, youth pastor, why would you? He's fine. He bounced back. He's young. I did not bounce back. In fact, the moment of impact to my knee, I dislocated, chipped and tore a ligament all at once in my knee. Okay, I was pretty great. I was walking for the rest of the camp. Like, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, so we go to the hospital straight after camp. They look at it and they go, yeah, that's messed up. So they put me in this massive brace here. And this brace completely immobilizes the leg. So it has to stay completely straight. And what happened as my knee was in this brace for multiple weeks as my knee needed to heal, the rest of my leg stopped working. It wasn't functioning. And what actually happened when I took the brace off is that my muscles in my quad and in my calf had completely deteriorated, that it had disappeared. Because when part of my body, when my knee stopped working, it didn't just affect my knee, it affected other parts of the body. Because the original design of the body was to work together. For the knee to bend, for the leg to move, for the body to move forward. It's all working together because God's so good at design. But what happened was all the muscle around my knee deteriorated. And my other ankle that was compensating for my other leg began to hurt. My back started to hurt. My shoulders started to hurt. Before I knew it, the rest of my body was suffering because one member wasn't working. And you know if you've had an injury that usually it affects more than just the injured area. Your whole body is affected by it. When certain members of the body aren't participating, other members have to work harder. But can I tell you, church, without you, somewhere Beacon is limping. Beacon, without you, somewhere in this church, Beacon is limping. And you may think in this moment that everything looks great. Everything's fine. The lights are on. I came forward and somebody said hello to me. I got my coffee. You may be thinking that everything is fine. But can I tell you, somewhere there is a team member praying, crying out to God, God, would you send me someone to help? God, would you fill this bench? God, would you fill this team? Because somewhere without you, Beacon is limping. One of our values here at Beacon is we make room at the table. And it's our value because you know what? Everyone has a part to play in this church. Our teams, they're missing you. The church is missing out on what you could bring to the table. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I am just really unsure. I'm just really uncertain about my purpose here. You know, practically we have a board out in the foyer called Serving Teams. It's like a shopping cart out there. You can go have a pick of all these amazing teams to be a part of. So I encourage you, if you've never had a look at the board after today's service, would you go out and just have a look? Because some of my closest friends are the people that I served along beside. If you're feeling a little disconnected in church, my encouragement to you is maybe pray about where could you get involved? What team could you get involved in serving? My goodness, nothing brings you together closer with someone than serving alongside them. I have been discipled and I continue to have the opportunity to disciple others through serving in his church. And I guarantee you that there is a team that needs you. There is a team that needs you. And you know, there are so many more ways to get involved with serving and being a part of this church than even on that board. I mean, I'll shout out youth, for example. Maybe you're in this place and you think a youth leader looks like a young adult. Scratch that, myth busted. There are so many young people that do not have praying mums and dads and grandparents that need you, that need you to show them love, that need you to show them care. So maybe pray about that. You know, practically on a Friday night, we are in desperate need of security teams, of just parents that are willing to say, I will give up 2 hours to make sure that youth is a safe place where people can come, feel welcomed, but also feel safe. Maybe you've never thought about joining the host team before, but you know what? The person welcoming you this morning made a world of a difference to your day. Maybe you have a passion to support and bring love and care to those that are walking through a dark mental health journey. Our Beacon Care could be an amazing team to be a part of, to bring care to those directly affected by mental health. Or maybe there's a team or a ministry that doesn't even exist yet because God's waiting on you to initiate it. Maybe there's a dream in you that actually could exist in this church, but God is waiting for you to actually take up the mantle and lead it. A connect group that doesn't exist yet because he's waiting on you to lead it. Maybe you are sitting here in this room and you're thinking, yes, Bella, that is all well and good, but I have done my time. I have served many years in the church, or I have served at my last church. I used to lead the worship team, or you know what? I used to even pastor. You know what? Now it's time to let the next generation take over. Let them have a go. I'm going to sit back and empower them to do that. Can I tell you, the church is missing out without your input. That we're missing out without your participation. The last time I checked, the call of God did not have an expiry date. That if there is breath in your lungs, then God has a plan and a purpose for you in this church. You have a part to play. You're a member of the body. Being the church, it's not just filling all the serving teams, and it's an amazing way to serve practically here on a Sunday, but you know what? Being the church is living our lives to draw people closer to God. You know, there are young people who don't have a mom or a dad praying for them. And I know this because in my life, I didn't have a mom or a dad or grandparents praying for me until the church did. Until somebody came up to me and said, Bella, you have got to get prayer with Fran. Oh my goodness, you just need to. You have to go. No, it was said, you got to have a PPM. And I was like, what is a PPM? I don't know. Personal prayer meeting, but no one had prayed for me before the church did. You know, I had never actually had an adult come up to me and say, Bella, you're awesome. You're doing a great job. God has a call on your life. I had never had an adult say that to me until Pete Widow walked up to me one morning, grabbed me and said, you're doing an awesome job. No one had encouraged me quite like that until the church did. At 18 years old, I found myself in a situation where I was unable to stay where I was living. And in a moment, I had to pack my bags and leave home. And I grabbed all that I could, threw it in a suitcase, threw it in my car, and all I had was a suitcase in my car. But within the hour, The church had been told what had happened, and I received a call that simply said, bring your things to our house. You're staying with me. The church gave me a roof over my head. This is the church. It is God's people. It is Christ's body. And it is his chosen vessel to reach the gospel. The church is God's chosen vessel. God's plan was to always use the church as the vessel to carry the gospel into the world, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Matthew 28:19-20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus chose people, his church, to spread the most important message ever out into this world? He chose people. I don't know if you've ever met a person before, but people are messy. People are not perfect. You know, maybe it's just me. I'm sorry. This is my flaw. But sometimes I find it really hard to trust other people, even with the smallest things. I'll give you an example. Josiah. Hold up. I love my husband. I love him so much. But I also love things done in a particular way. Okay? Simple things. Simple things. Like, okay, simply this. The way I fold a t-shirt. All right. The other day, I was doing the laundry and I asked my amazing husband, would you come help me fold the laundry? And of course, because he's such a servant-hearted man, he said yes. And so he starts picking out t-shirts from the laundry basket. And I'm just looking at the creative way that he's choosing to fold these shirts. I didn't know a shirt could be folded or scrunched in such a creative way. And I couldn't handle it. I grabbed it off of him and I said, it's fine, I will do it myself. Was that your plan all along? No? Okay. If I am like that with something as silly and simple as folding a t-shirt, oh man, am I lucky that God is not like that with us? That he trusts us with the most important mission to go out and to make disciples, to be the church. He trusts us with the most important task of all, because God does not require perfect vessels, but he requires a willing heart. The church remains to this day. It is not changed. God's chosen vessel to reach this world. But you know what? It requires participation. Not for us just to sit passively by and let others do the job. Because God chose the church as his vessel to reach the world. Ephesians 3:10 says this. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms through the church. It was always his plan to use the church, the whole church. Just imagine for a moment a church full of members, not just attenders, where every single one of us is motivated to participate in the body. Imagine who you could impact. Imagine the city that we could impact. I know that if those people that didn't pray for me, that didn't encourage me, or even take me in, if they had never done that, if they simply said, nah, I'm an attender, I'm not going to be a member, how different would my life have been? Would I even be here? But they participated. They took seriously the call of God to be the body, to participate, to love his church. So church, are you willing? Are you willing? I'm so grateful that I walked into a church where the people participated and they didn't just sit back. Every member of the body has an important role and a part to play. I encourage you, without you, we're limping. We need you, all of us, youngest to oldest, to be part of the church, to be part of the body. And so church, would you pray with me as we close? You know, church is made up of a collection of imperfect people. I am not perfect. I mess up all the time. So messiness is guaranteed. And yet it is still God's chosen vessel to use his church to outwork his eternal redemption plan. It's the assembly of God's people throughout all of history who are called to draw people to Christ to bring him glory. The body of Christ, with each member significant and called to participate as a representation of Christ's love. That there's a sense of belonging. Maybe you've been unsure about your place. I'm so grateful to this church for making me feel as though I belonged and I had a part to play. So what impact could you have? Even now as you pray and reflect, maybe you're unsure, but I just want to encourage you. I believe God wants to show you in this moment, right now. He's just speaking to you where he's calling you to. It could be a team. It could be a serving role. It could be a mission in your workplace or a person that you'll have over after church for lunch. How, church, will you be the hands and feet of Jesus today? And so, God, I pray that you would show us the part you want us to play, even now, Lord, that you would give us a sense of where you're calling us. Give us a fresh sense of purpose and a passion to be a part of your church. You know, maybe you're here today and you haven't actually decided to follow Jesus before. But I'm here to tell you that God knows you, that he sees you, that he loves you. In fact, he loved you so much that he made sure that you would be in the room today so that I could give you this opportunity to decide to follow him, to trust him with your life. Without God, you've been unsure of your purpose, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And all you need to do is decide, you know what, God, whatever you have for me, I want it. If you choose to follow him today. So if you're in this room today, I would love to pray for you. I'm going to count to three and I just want you to raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down. And then I just love to pray for you. If you're in this room, you'd like to follow Jesus today. Make that decision. On the count of three, would you just show me your hand? One, two, three. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. I see those hands. That's amazing. That's amazing. I feel like God is just going to download some purpose into your life. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we just celebrate those decisions made, Lord. That these people have chosen to give you and trust you with their lives. And so, God, we pray over them right now, Lord. Lord, that they are now part of the body, that they belong, that they have a purpose, they have a plan. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, as they lay down their old ways, their old life, God, and they choose to follow you today, Lord, that they would walk in step with you, that they would listen to you, God, and that they would, Lord, would you show them the plans and purposes that you have for them. I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.